Our scripture reading today will come from the NIV. It'll be Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord.
There's one announcement that kind of slipped by us. We need to remind everyone that Robert Talley's having surgery this week. It's kind of a serious thing, so we need to be remembering him in our prayers. And I'd like for us to do that right now. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask you please to look down with kindness on your servant Robert. We ask you, Father, to bless him and strengthen him. Be with those that are taking care of him, that they'll do just what needs to be done. We ask you, Father, to help him get through this, and we ask you, Father, to give him full health back to him. Thank you for Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 12:14, strive for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I want to see the Lord. I want to spend eternity in his presence. I want to study him and gaze upon him and learn everything there is that I can hold about him. I want to see the Lord. I must see the Lord. It's a matter of life and death that we see the Lord. So when he says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord, I'm very interested in knowing what holiness is, because I must see the Lord. What is holiness? Why does God call us to be a holy people? Why not good people? That's not what this word means. If you are God's holy people, you will be good. But he didn't call us to be good guys. He called us to be holy people. The word holy means separate. It's a process of separation, the very elements of who we are. It's a separation of us out of the world and a separation of the world out of us. It's like, well, he says the separated in book of Leviticus chapter 20, he said, sanctify yourself and be holy for I am holy. This process of separation is something that God does with us and we do with ourselves for God's good pleasure. God sets you apart and you set yourself apart. In 2 Corinthians, we've been studying 2 Corinthians, haven't we? In chapter 6, a little preview of that chapter, verse 14 through 18. Let's read that together. Do not be mismated with unbelievers. For what partnership have the righteous and iniquity? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Bela? Or what has the believer in common with the unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Therefore come out from among them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. God calls us to separation. This sanctification, it's the process of that he does with us, highlights the end result of this separation, that we are his sons and daughters, and he moves among us and lives in us. It's the end of a of a long process. It's a result of that process. Think about if you grew up a long time ago on a farm and you had raw milk and you had that strange-looking device sitting there with a crank on it and little spigots that go out, and you pour milk in one end and it separates the cream from the milk. Part of it is very precious to you. Part of it is leftover. You find uses for it, but you're looking for the cream. That's what God is looking for. The parts of the milk get separated. It's like when in the old days when they took grain and they thrashed it, and they would throw it up in the air in a windy place, and the husk and the trash and the dirt would blow away and the grain would fall. It's like the process that gold ore goes through to get pure gold. The filter that's in your coffee maker keeps the lumps out of your cup of coffee, and you get the delightful, wonderful liquid, and the rest you put on your flowers or in the trash. The impurities are removed by the filter. It catches the bugs. It catches the dirt. I have a filter that you can take, and the instructions say you can put one little hose down in a dirty ditch of water, and when you pump on it, what comes out the other end is 99% pure water. The filter catches everything, even microscopic things, because it seems like the molecules of the water are smaller than the molecules of the trash. It's like when the gold is put in the cauldron. The ore is melted, the impurities are removed, the gold is saved. This process is severe. It can be painful, but it's valuable. God said, unless you're holy, you cannot see Him. And I want to see Him. I want to have 20/20 vision when I look at God. And I want to have 20/20 vision now, because I not only want to see God, I want to see things the way God sees them. I want to see the Lord. I must see the Lord. So with David, we would say to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, because the pure in heart see God. This process by God is continual. It's like having my mother-in-law stay with me. She is cleaning all the time. It used to bother me. Now I invite her, come on over. She's picking up stuff, washing stuff, sweeping, something all the time. Makes me feel kind of bad sitting there watching her. But she is continual about it, constant about it. A matter of fact, you have to hold on to your glass at Thanksgiving, because if you set it down, it'll be washed and put back in the cabinet, and you have to start all over again. Continual. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to ferret around in our heart and pull out every wicked thing and make us purely His, wholly His. This constant, always cleaning is what John tells us, that when we confess our faults, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Always, continually. Back to 2 Corinthians. He tells us about this process in chapter 6, this process of sanctification. And it's also about an invitation. Not only is there this process, this continual process, there's a call that starts it all, and we get to decide if we want to play or not. He says, come out from among them and be separate. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, he says, strive for holiness. That's an invitation. He also tells us in Leviticus 12 to sanctify yourself. So he's separating us, and we're separating ourselves. This invitation calls on us to participate in this separation process. How do you do that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says part of it is you control your environment. If I really want that filter to work, that I'm getting clean water out of dirty water, I'll look for the cleanest water I can find to start with. Otherwise, I waste the filter. I can get, at least the water needs to be clear, and then it's not all full of moss and frog skins and stuff. I want it to be as pure as possible so I control my environment. What did he tell us in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians 6? He said, don't be mismated with unbelievers. You control your own environment. You control who you run around with. You control who your heroes are. You control what goes into your mind. You have control of your environment. He says, do what you can do. Take care of yours. Don't be yoked up in a situation that's going to make it even harder to be the person you want to be. Serious thing. It's an invitation to say, God, I'm serious about what you have for me, and I'm going to do everything in my power to do what I can. I know I can't do the heavy lifting. I know I can't even see those little microbes that's in that water, but I'm going to do what I can do. And so I'm going to control my environment. There's places we don't go as Christians. There's activities we don't participate in. There's movies we don't watch and stories we don't tell. There's hobbies we don't have. There's jobs we don't do. Because we can control our environment to a degree, we can actually make sure that this, what we're presenting to God, is as good as we can make it. And that we have made a good faith effort to make this work. He tells us we can control our environment. Don't be unyoked with unbelievers. He also tells us don't have fellowship with darkness. He also tells us to stay away from idols. He also says come out from among them. The word that we translate church is ekklesia, and it means the called out. Out of all of the people, some answer the call. God would like for everybody to be in his called out, but not everybody answers. But you do, don't you? You answer that call, don't you? You said yes when he invited you into his fellowship, didn't you? That's what he's talking about. And that's the church or the ecclesia. He tells us we can do this. He tells us also in this passage that we just read to separate yourself from the world. Like we said, there's things we don't do. There's things we don't touch. He says, touch nothing unclean. Now, you know, there were gnats that got in the water. When Jesus talked about straining gnats and swallowing camels, he wasn't talking about gnats as much as he was talking about camels. It's possible for us to avoid the camels, isn't it? There's stuff that gets in our mind and in our life because we live in a dirty world. We live in a contaminated place. There's sin everywhere. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. It's like you can't breathe without breathing in sin. But you don't have to swallow camels. You don't have to get your water out of the sewer. You don't have to touch unclean things. We make a point of it. Now, sometimes things get by us. And aren't we glad that God is capable of sanctifying us? Aren't we glad that the blood of Jesus cleanses us? But we can do what we can do. When he says to separate ourselves, Job put it this way in chapter 31. Job said he made a covenant with his eyes not to look on the young girls. Now, you guys know what he was making a covenant about. He wasn't meaning he didn't notice that there were girls in the world. He didn't mean that he couldn't know that there's 10 girls working in your field. He says, I don't make a point. Matter of fact, I avoid gazing on them. He's controlling his environment. He's making his life, making it easier for him to do this impossible task of being holy, because he is holy. We sometimes pay the devil to come to our house. We sometimes subscribe to things and deliberately go to places and in situations where we're touching unclean things. We're being part of something that we shouldn't be a part of. When we turn to God, we put up our filters, our own filters, and we control our environment. The journey to holiness can be swift because God is thorough in his work, but it's a lifetime of effort. But to have 2020 vision, we're going to have to work at it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the poor, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, open your eyes. Open your ears. And hear the call of holiness. Come out from among them, says the Lord. And be ye separate, says the Lord. And touch nothing unclean, says the Lord. And I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters. He's saying, come and see God. Come and have your vision cleared up where you can see things the way God sees them. And eventually, you can have that wonderful privilege of being continually, constantly, and always in his presence. And in the meantime, you can be holy, set apart for God's work. Come while we stand and sing.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt.